And that's going. Facebook Live is going. And podcast audio is recording. And we're already sharing it around. And there was a press conference. And some people had a lot to say about the press conference. Some people, had a shorter summary of what they learned.
He's got the biggest, juiciest fruits I've ever seen.
William Jackson calls me the N-word in front of my mother.
That's right.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
WineCellarMedia.com, William J. Jackson, a.k.a. Dark Skin Nigglesworth, Phoenix Kaleeder, the Uppity Negress, Lisa Loco. Hit up Lisa Loco and see if she has time, if she's ready to start hitting up the program again. If it works for the schedule, I don't know how niggas' schedules are.
Okay.
And Catherine Loco. Because again, if I have enough of y'all on, then I can just open, close, and produce and have more voices. Again, folks have obviously noticed, we're having so many guests on, doing videos, the program is in transition mode. And for 500 so episodes, I think we're messing with the 500s now, so I don't know, a lot. A lot of episodes, you've heard everything I have to say about everything. You don't need to hear me anymore. Alright? I know. It's a tough move. But you don't. Alright, Lisa Loco, Catherine Loco. Catherine looks like Aunt Jemima. Very much so. That is a very true thing. That is a fact that one cannot escape.
That's what you're gonna go with.
Yes, she looks like Aunt Jemima. A great deal. Uncanny resemble ants, ma'am.
She does own a head start.
Yeah, and she's colored and quite southern looking. That's right. That is right. All right, then. I like how the microphone is in the shot. Look at that.
Hey.
Coolness. Okay. So we better get to this shit fast because this motherfucker is action packed. All right, this shit is action motherfuck pack. Let's jump right to it. Brittany Jones. Brittany Jones is fucking rowdy. She's like an independent, I guess, sex worker pornographer, making her videos and doing her stuff and making her money and living. And she had a drug charge. And while she was in the courthouse on that drug charge, I guess it was the Daily Mail says it was a live Twitter, but then niggas on Facebook was like, no, that shit was Facebook Live. And so Who knows? Maybe she used two devices. Who the fuck knows? And performed an oral sex act on a person in that Florida courthouse because it's fucking Florida. What else you gonna do? It's fucking Florida.
Somebody had to give us a Florida headline. Brittany, thank you.
Brittany Jones.
Thank you for putting in the work and giving us the headline.
And then Milo Fuckstack Yiannopoulos. That's why, I put an extra trigger warning. I made a post in the social networks, extra trigger warning for this episode, just because we're mentioning the Milo individual, right?
Yes.
And so now I will tell you what. Thank you to new folks on the Patreon earlier this month. Listed as Katie May came on to the Patreon, Liz Lang, interacting with on the Facebook since 2014, came on the Patreon, and Madeline Stump came on to the Patreon on February 19th. Outstanding, thank you, because we can keep moving and grooving with this gosh darn thing that we call the wine cellar.
Nobody says moving and grooving.
Yeah. Well, David Pakman already has going and growing. And moving and grooving is blacker. It's dope. Because I was using David Pakman's going and growing, and I was like, I can't keep using his deal. I gotta have my own deal. So we are moving and grooving.
Okay.
All right, so Milo,
whatever the fuck,
he got removed from the conservative thing for being conservative.
Yes,
really, for representing what the fuck they really are. Like, can they not handle it? Did they get triggered?
They needed a safe space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what I could have swore CPAC, goddamn it, was.
It's safer now that Milo's gone, apparently.
Holy shit. Yeah, and I mean, it's gonna come in and take your husband's, Miss Lady Mams.
Well, more like your son's, actually.
That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
I was listening to another program, and they were talking about how the NFL... This isn't even a tangent. This is just fucking jumping off the topic.
Okay.
Was another thing. They were talking about how the NFL was talking about pulling events from Texas because of anti-trans bill that they're pumping out there with Greg Abbott. And somebody was talking about how, these guys today with the trans business, they'll be looked at folks that were like, we don't want niggers going to the bathroom because your urine is not as good as my urine for some reason. And then I was thinking in my head, what does that sound like? Who argues that? The guys that wanted to segregate football players.
Yeah.
Right? Your black players cannot play with my white players.
Yeah.
What the hell would that look like? What? In the locker room. Hairy. Big. Beefy. White mans. Getting all soaked up with lean and tall. Cocoa buttered up colored fellers. It ain't right.
It ain't right.
Somebody give me a glass of water.
Maybe a tissue.
What did that guy say? No tissue. I liked it. I'm natural.
Oof.
I just air dry.
Woo!
Alright, we wowing. Oh man. So let's just get straight to the fucking Milo shit. All right, so the shit that he said to get pulled out of CPAC, CPAC, where they were perfectly happy with the old Pope, those motherfuckers. And so he was on Joe Rogan's program, and they just started riffing about pedophilia again, trigger warning, nigga.
This is I think the third time Milo's been on audio saying this. This is a this is a fucking reoccurring thing for him at this point.
Yeah. And the video was messed up because I had to rip the video in an eccentric way because things just weren't working out for me. All right. So let's make sure we got the volume oop. All right. And just listen to the first... I didn't even mean to catch this, but the first words he says...
They choose to be gay to be naughty.
Seems like you have all...
They choose to be gay to be...
Naughty.
They choose, so he just jumps in with that one, yeah. Which And as soon as I hear that, I'm just like, it's obvious what you're doing. You say shit because you just, you want people to react so that your target audience, you can turn to them and say, look at how triggered they are. Ha, ha, ha. SJWs, the left, the liberals, the progressives, they're bad, we're good, give me money.
Yeah.
Right? He just says that because the end result is, give me money. You know, they're terrible, we're great, give me money. They're triggered, we're tough, give me money. And it's just like, and that's fucked up because it makes me just not believe him in general because I know he just says words for the sake of saying them.
Yeah.
And then so when he talks about, what up?
Well, that's like also one of the big things about the alt-right, alt-reich in general, is that they are intentionally provocative. Be like, oh, it was irony. Oh, it was a joke. I was just trying to trigger somebody. Like, that is very much what they do. And, you know, if you get upset, they're like, haha, snowflakes. Like, yeah. And that is why he is one of the main faces of that movement.
Yeah, and I mean, and he shouldn't be the main face of the movement. He shouldn't, because he doesn't fit the bill. To be the main face of the movement...
He's got the biggest, juiciest fruits I've ever seen.
That's how you get to be the main face of the movement.
When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me.
All right. Yeah, I barely go by Father Teresa anymore. That doesn't apply to anybody.
Yeah.
No one is that person.
You need new ones.
Yeah, I gotta hit up Face, man. Face is probably going into the calming down stage. Like, Face is going into her late 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, she's ready, like, fucking, like, chill out. Because that was a party animal kid right there. That was a wild fucking kid.
Making up for her teenagers.
Yeah, a lot of fucking alcohol ran through that tiny little person. Oh, fucking, okay, Milo and his shit.
And all now, being a homosexual, place,
I know,
pray the
I know,
gay away.
I just can't
full
tear
for
myself away
from
Christian
the
values.
Dick.
Can't tear myself away
Come
from
Come on. Maybe as you get older,
maybe
your
I should be
sex dries up a little
I
bit.
I think I would have made a good priest. Do you think I'd make a good priest? I think I'd make a good priest.
Well, you...
All right, nice. He says I make a good priest.
Make a good priest if you think the guy that made you suck his dick was a good priest. That kind of good priest.
He was
priest.
A great priest.
And that so nice because Milo says that a priest basically to me if it's adult and children I just go straight to the word rape so
yes.
And then Milo's response to that
honestly like
he was good other than that
I never had a better singing tutor he was great
singing teacher
he got notes out of me I didn't even know I could produce
ha ha well he worked your
all right pedophile jokes
yeah
you know because that's
it's funny.
Yeah, and again, like, he's only saying it because he wants you to respond.
Yeah, he wants you to be upset.
Yeah, so that they can say what they... Ah, fuck him. All right, keep going.
Plumbing, shattering the chandeliers, kind of.
Man,
but was
shattering...
he good outside of what he did? Like, was he a good religious scholar? Was he a good teacher?
I think he's just a parish priest. I mean,
just a fucking creep getting his dick sucked, then.
He's gonna get lynched now.
How's he gonna get lynched? Do people know who he is?
I don't think so.
What's his name?
I'm not
sure. Well, how old were you at the time? You were a little kid, and he was like, what?
You're trying to...
Was he in his
20s or 30s? Stop it!
Stop, yeah. Like, no, don't ask me follow-up questions. And don't.
He said it like a fucking whiny-ass kid because he knows that this is his thing. You say something provocative, then somebody follows up, and you're like, stop, why are you asking me all these questions?
Yeah, you think you're not going to get asked, but like you're sitting down on a fucking... Rogan's podcasts are like 3 hours minimum.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when Bill Burr was on there, he was like, suck, I'm doing a fucking marathon here, Joe. Like...
Yet another feminist strategy that you have adopted in addition to your language policing.
Trying to
pedophiles? Yeah, we're trying to go this witch.
The feminist strategy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, whatever the fuck that is.
It's witch hunt. I told you it wasn't pedophilia. I was
well,
after
it was
virginity. I was
How
in my teens.
You?
I was in my teens.
14.
I was in my teens. Something like that.
That's what you said. 14 is pedophilia,
buddy. In my teens.
I don't know how they rock it in merry old England.
I was in my teens.
Over here.
See, and then Joe Rogan is in his echo chamber because, you know, there are a lot of fucking nasty-ass grown men that'll be like, nah, she look grown, she is grown. Like, she, keep in mind, like, no matter how good he is at commenting on politics, Cenk Uygur thinks that 14 should be the age of consent. All right, I always keep that in mind whenever I'm listening to him really break down a bill, you know, or like really like show how money and politics corrupted this particular candidate. I always keep in mind this nasty motherfucker wants the goddamn age of consent to be 14.
Well, that's nice.
in my country is something weird right now.
Never seen a 15-year-old girl at any point in your life, however old you were, you've never seen a 15-year-old girl before.
Yeah, when I was 15.
No, when you were 25. When you were 25, when you were
25. Alright, enjoy. Yeah, throw a little ableism in there. Why not?
30, no. You would have seen girls about 15, you thought, wow,
no,
of course
I thought they were little kids.
No, you didn't.
I thought, damn, that's she's bullshit. Gonna be hot, but I didn't want to fuck her.
Bullshit.
Not bullshit at all. You can't tell me what I was born into.
I think if you're 14...
Born like this.
You were born this way. You were born a dreary nitpicker.
No, you're trying to make it so I'm a fucking creeper like you.
No,
I'm not into 14-year-olds. How dare you, sir?
No. I'm not into 14-year-olds.
Well, that
don't
fucking
put
guy,
this
who said is a great guy, he was into 14-year-olds. Yeah, he's a terrible person.
No.
He certainly was.
I was a very mature 14-year-old.
Yeah. Well, in your
he's not case, mature now.
Yes, you got it right. You got the right guy to molest.
It wasn't molestation.
That's absolutely molestation.
Molestation is perfectly consensual.
I don't think it is when they're 14.
When I was 14, trust me, I was the predator. I was the predator.
You were the predator.
Yeah, which, and like back when I first started doing the program, like one of the stories was a Catholic priest saying that the kids are preying on us. I think I heard the door knock. Yep. Yeah, all right, Phoenix Collider is tending to offspring. All right, let's, and that's the thing, like, so Milo's a whack buster, and that fool Larry Wilmore did the right thing. Like, sometimes you just gotta tell somebody to go fuck themselves. So,
and also,
you gotta get closer to the microphone.
All right, here I am. No, that's another thing, too, about what he said, though, as far as right-wing rhetoric goes. That it's not just priests who say that children prey on them. That's something that's used to excuse bad behavior from teachers and coaches, right? When, you know, 14-year-old girls are getting raped by teachers, it's like, well, she was trying to seduce him. She was acting grown, right? What did they say about, you know, even fucking R. Kelly, right? She looked grown, yes. They were the ones preying on adults. Like, that has been a fucking conservative talking point for ages. And Milo... You have to remember, he's out as gay, but says gay is a choice, but he's not chosen to be hetero yet, but he is being ultimately the villain by saying, oh yeah, there's a lot of pedophilia in the gay community. I was molested, but I don't call it that because I'm a hypersexual gay man, right? And I think that it's okay for that to happen. He is fitting every fucking rhetoric talking point right now.
Yeah, that dude's full of shit. All right, so yeah. You have a story.
I have a story.
All right, Phoenix Collider.
Oh, man. I just been looking at this like, great, okay, how can I depress people more? Here we go. I found one.
Good.
South Sudan is suffering a famine, a government official said on Monday, adding that nearly half of the country's population would lack reliable access to food by July. South Sudan has been mired in a civil war since 2013 when President Salva Kiir fired his deputy. I have no idea if I said that man's name right. Since then, the conflict has increasingly split along ethnic lines, leading the United Nations to warn of potential genocide. The fighting has prevented many farmers from harvesting crops, and then hyperinflation, which reached more than 800% last year, has put the price of imported food beyond the reach of many. Parts of the country have also been hit by drought. In Greater Unity State, some counties are classified in famine or risk of famine, said Isaiah Chol Arai, chairman of South Sudan's National Bureau of Statistics. Three UN agencies and the South Sudan government have officially declared famine in Lir and Mayandit counties in the state. In recent months, there have been warnings of possible famine in Yemen, Somalia, and northeastern Nigeria as well, but South Sudan is the first one where it has been officially declared. It's also the first famine declaration made by the UN since 2011. The famine classification highlights the human suffering caused by South Sudan's civil war, and around 4.9 million people are expected to become insecure by April, with that number rising to 5.5 million by July. Yeah. Yeah. That's what's going on. Let's see. And I'm just skimming now. Okay, so as of right now, two people are dying a day. On average, there's going to be about 10,000 people dying per day. Hey. And South Sudan is rich in oil resources, but 6 years after independence from neighboring Sudan, there is only 120 miles of paved roads in a nation the size of Texas. In the fighting, food warehouses have been looted, aid workers have been killed. So we need to watch out for Sudan. It's going to be really bad.
Ugh.
It's bad.
I'm sure, you know what? The only one on that liberal lineup at the end of the night on MSNBC who might cover this is Lawrence O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Because he regularly gives to Africa with his kind Kids in Need of Desks project.
Well, and, see, also, too, you have to watch because a lot of these are Muslim countries or have significant Muslim populations, which means we won't accept refugees and neither will Europe. So they're just going to stay there and starve to death.
Oh, well, GMO crops are going to feed them. That's why they make GMO crops, to feed poor, hungry people.
So the people are going to starve to death, and they're on travel bans, and they're not going to be allowed to come here, and they're going to die.
GMOs. That's what, I mean, think about it. GMO crops exist, so science is good, and they made them to feed people, so they're good.
So capitalism also exists, and it's bad.
Yeah, but I mean, once they give them the free GMO food, they'll have energy to work. Jobs over there? No. Yeah, there's jobs over there.
No.
Alex Jones said there's globalism, so there's jobs over there.
No, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is part of my, like, my own personal little conspiracy theory, that they're just prompting these things as a way to get rid of certain populations.
I don't think they're getting rid of my pride. I think they just don't care. Like, I really think that the ownership class of Europeans is just generally having fun and not caring. They're just like, oh, people died. I'm having fun. Like, I think that they are just moment to moment having fun. I think Donald Trump is a great representation of them. Dude can barely read. He can barely talk. But the thing is, his pappy had a whole bunch of money dollars, left him with a bunch of money dollars, and taught him to just go to other people with money dollars and be like, let's make a deal. What's in it for me? Right? I think I heard someone else saying that. Like, that's what he just does. He just sits in a room and says, give you stuff. I give you stuff. You give me stuff. We both make money. Money, good money. Okay, let's go have fun. That's just all they're doing. They're just having fun and causing destruction.
I still think these things are more orchestrated than that. Because they only happen in places where it could happen. You know what I mean? Because, like, there are populations of the world where you can't just have a famine because the world will care.
Yeah.
Sudan is not one of those places. Neither is Yemen.
Yeah. All right, follow it. Follow it, search it every morning and afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to follow it. All right, and in a few minutes, we're going to have Madison Page on the program from, she changed it. She changed it on me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's not Bold Blue Media anymore. It's Bold Blue Campaigns. Madison Page, co-founder and CEO at Bold Blue Campaigns. All
right.
And so she's going to be on, and while we, what up?
We forgot to mention Milo. His book deal got canceled.
You know what? But here's the funny shit, though. That's good for him because then he's like a martyr to the folks that his movement is.
Oh,
and that's great. Like, so now he can, because it's not like he doesn't have a bunch of money. He can open up a small studio and do his own broadcast. Like, he can Glenn Beckett.
Oh, yeah. I was actually reading the comment section. A lot of people are encouraging him to self-publish. And they're saying, if you don't do it, the liberals will win. Like, that's literally what they're saying. If you don't self-publish, the liberals win. Don't let the liberals win, Milo.
Yeah, he's all set. Yeah, he's fine, man.
Although, I just want to point out, it wasn't, like, his racism. It wasn't his xenophobia. It wasn't, like, him going to colleges and doxing students. It wasn't his misogyny. It was because he made white men uncomfortable because he was like, I want to fuck your kids.
Yeah. All right, LGBT news update, and then right after that, Madison Page from Bold Blue, doobie-doo-doo, Bold Blue Campaigns. I've been saying Bold Blue Media for so long, it's Bold Blue Campaigns now. All right, and we will catch you on the other side.
It's now time for Big Gay News, brought to you by Lavender Media. This is Andy Lean in Minneapolis, and here are your headlines for Monday, February 20th, 2017.
He's got the biggest, juiciest fruits I've ever seen.
First up, Big Gay News from California. Drag restaurant owner says that he was attacked for being gay. The New York Daily News reports that a New Yorker who owns a chain of drag show restaurants says that he was beaten up while traveling in California because he is gay. He alleges in a video that he was attacked in San Diego because of his sexual orientation, and that his attacker called him an anti-gay slur as he was beating him, which resulted in large bruises on his eye and cheek. The man was in California to check out a location for his LIPS, Lips restaurant, and blames the attack on the divisive rhetoric of the current president. Next up, Peruvian lawmakers introduce gay marriage bill on Valentine's Day. On Top magazine reports that a bill that would end gay and lesbian couples being excluded from marriage was introduced on Valentine's Day in Peru. Sponsored by some Congress members, as well as a political coalition of liberal parties, the proposal is meant to create legislation that is not ad hoc legal recognition for same-sex couples, according to a congresswoman, but to extend legal rights to them. The proposal has been endorsed by many of the leading Peruvian GLBT organizations. Next up, California bill would allow trans inmates to legally change their name and gender. Pink News reports that a new bill introduced in California would make it easier for transgender inmates in the state to legally change their name or gender. Introduced by State Senator Tony Atkins, SB 310 would allow inmates in the state prison system to apply for legal changes without being made to seek approval from prison officials, and would apply to those inmates incarcerated in county jails in the state. Senator Atkins asserts that the new law would allow the patient for trans inmates, and would put the rights of the inmates wishing to change their name or gender on a more equal footing with those outside the prison system. For our final story, meet the gay couple fighting terrorists and stereotypes on 24 Legacy. Noon on X reports that after 9 seasons, Fox's 24 has finally introduced its first gay couple. The series, a reboot of the popular series starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, features two new team members in the fictional counter-terrorist unit, Andy Shalowitz, played by Dean Bukatinski, and Thomas Locke, played by Bailey Chase, who are in a gay relationship. The series shows the pair going through some relationship drama, the same as any other couple, and it is hoped that the couple will be featured more prominently in the ongoing plot of the series this season. That's it for today. Thanks to Linda Rains for compiling the stories. I'm Andy Lean in Minneapolis. Join us and tweet your take on today's stories on Twitter at the handle Big Gay News.
All right, can you hear my audio? Yep.
Okay.
All right, and that is Madison Page, and you can't see me because this is my fiance's laptop, and she has her she has her Fourth Amendment freedom blocker on the camera. But the folks on Facebook Live, they can see you, and the podcast audio can hear you.
Okay, great.
All right, so it was Bold Blue Media, but now Bold Blue Campaigns.
It is Bold Blue Campaigns.
What is that?
Well, we are a campaign services provider. I mean, I think when you think about all the things that are happening right now in America, right, the one thing that is a constant is that when you're in power, you get to make the rules, right? So we see what's happening with the shift in power from the Obama era to 45, his name. And the fact of the matter is that if you're in power, you get to make the rules. And so what we do at Bold Blue Campaigns is we help Democrats run for office at the local level, at the state level, because these are the foundations of power building, and we are passionate about helping people run for school boards and city commissions and county commissions and mayors and police chiefs and state house and state senate. So that's what we do.
Oh, geez. Now I'm sure, like, because you know what? Somebody had just hit me up today asking if there's a if there's something that they'd want me for them to donate to.
Right.
Is there like a link or something where folks can donate?
Well, yes, actually, here's the interesting thing. We are America's only grassroots supported campaign services provider. So like most people who provide campaign services are private businesses. We are a private business. We're not a C3, we're not a nonprofit. It's illegal to be a nonprofit if you are providing direct services to campaigns, to political campaigns. So we're a regular business, but we have a philosophy at Bold Blue Campaigns, and that philosophy is that we think that all of us together, if we all work together, we can do great things. And so what we do is we ask people who understand the importance of local politics, the importance of state politics, to come and support what we do. And what that does is it allows us to offer campaign services that are affordable to them. Well, you know, when you think about the presidential campaigns, there's millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars, right, that are going into those campaigns. And same thing with the congressional Senate and House campaigns at the federal level. But when you get down to school boards, I mean, these people are not raising hundreds of millions of dollars. They're not raising even millions of dollars in a lot of cases. They're raising tens of thousands, if that. And so the campaign services that they need are very expensive, typically, and they have a difficult time competing against Republicans who tend to have a lot more support and a lot more money to play with. And that's why we keep losing. And we are tired of losing. So people who understand what we do, people who are tired of losing, people who want to see us make progress beginning at the local community level, can go to our site. They can sign up to become a Catalyst supporter. We call them Catalyst contributors. And in exchange for their support, we give them a monthly digital publication called Bold Blue Magazine, and we have that is a fantastic magazine. They get in their mailbox every month. But it helps us to be able to provide those services to campaigns that are not going to raise a whole lot of money during their campaign.
All right, so you know what? I want to bring up your website right now on the screen for the folks on Facebook Live to see. What's the what am I typing in the bar?
So our website is boldbluecampaigns.com.
Campaigns.com. I'm on my Beyonce's slow computer.
This... I have one of those too. I have a slow computer too. I keep saying, why can't I do things faster on this computer? It's like my cell phone is actually faster than my computer.
Yeah, like you know the ones where like you type a whole word and then you watch the letters slowly come up after you took your hands off home row, you made a cup of coffee. Right.
Yeah, I know that feeling. And then if you have to go back and delete a letter, it's like you start timing it, right? So you have to like remember how many times you push the backspace button. Or you'll delete too much of it. I get it.
Yep, and I think we can. And you know what? Let's blame Carly Fiorina for that because it's a Hewlett Packard.
I'm gonna blame Donald Trump. I'm gonna do what the Republicans did for years with Obama. Everything horrible that happens, I'm gonna blame Donald Trump. I blame Donald Trump for my computer being slow.
Holy shit. Huh? Yeah. I mean, thanks, Donald. I got razor bumps. Thanks, Donald.
Right, that's right.
Everything that's bad happens, you know?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, I'm with that. I'm on board with that. Now here we have Be Different, Be Unified, Be Bold, Bold Blue Campaigns. And did you do this web design?
I actually did. I am a person of many hats. I have to wear a lot of hats, right? We are we're a small organization, and we really are maximizing our staff. We have a great team, and we're maximizing everyone at this stage of the game. But yeah, I sort of put that together a little bit.
Yeah, and you know what? And thank you. Like folks that have never seen Madison Page before, when you see the Wine Cellar Media like artwork and design, she did that.
I did.
Yes.
It was an honor.
Yeah, that stuff. And I still haven't learned how to use that program that you sent me. So I like whenever I want to redo something new, I take the design you already did and I just put like a new face on it. Just remix it.
Well, you can always write to me. I'm happy to. I love what you do. I'm a huge supporter of what you do. So you can always write to me. I'll always find time.
Yes, thank you. Now I'm looking. So you said go to Catalyst Club because I'm gonna show folks how to do this on the video right now.
Okay.
All right. So Catalyst Club. I think So it has a yes. You can make an impact. And becoming a member of the Catalyst Club is simply the easiest, fastest, and best way to support state and local Democratic candidates and progressive causes nationwide. And what? Different, unified, slow computer. And there, down at the bottom in pink, little pink hat for you there, monthly support and annual support. So yeah, so that's where folks will go and click. Now, can they use regular bank accounts or PayPal?
Yes, they can. As a matter of fact, if you click the link, it will take you through to our form. You don't even have to go. You don't have to go into PayPal or anything. All of that's done on the back end, so you don't even have to do that. All you do is just put in your information. It's on a secure form, and everything will be done on the back end on your behalf. So you don't have to do anything unusual or different than you would on any e-commerce site. And we will get your monthly support or your annual support. And we also have, you know, our Blue Action Network, which if you don't want to do monthly or you don't want to do one chunk annually, you can give an amount of any amount you choose, a one-time donation of any amount. So that's also an option for people, because everybody doesn't want to do something every month, you know, so we get that.
Yeah, or sometimes, or folks just might not have it, but right now, right. It's tax season, so, you know, like, you know, drop a couple bucks on some policy changes. Like, we're gonna need it.
Right. Well, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, when we think about politics, you know, I mean, I like to say that we pay a lot of attention to the 1%, and not just in economics, but also in politics. Washington, we have 535 elected, you know, people in Senate, and then there's a president and his cabinet. That's it. But do you know there's 500,000 local and state seats that are up for election every year or two? 500,000. So we're really paying attention to the top 1%, and they are important. But, you know, what's happening in your schools? What's happening in your police department? What's happening in your community in terms of development or, you know, gentrification, which is a big issue in a lot of places. What's happening with, you know, public transit? All of these things are being decided really in your state house, whether you have a legal marijuana or whether you have medical, you know, marijuana that's usable. All of those things are really sort of being decided in local and state. And it's really interesting if you follow local and state, which if you subscribe to our magazine, if you become a donor, you'll get the magazine and you'll be seeing all of this. It's so different. If you're in California, for example, they're passing all kinds of interesting legislation in California. And if you're living in Alabama or you're living in Oklahoma, it's completely different. And what we have a vision of is that things shouldn't be so different depending on where you live. And we want to try to make sure that people are able to run for office, that we're able to move things forward incrementally, community by community across the country. And so that's what we're committed to. And our Catalyst Club folks are amazing. They're helping us to do that every single day. We're talking to people in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Georgia and North Carolina and Arizona and New Mexico and Florida. We're already talking to campaigns all across the country, and we're so excited to be able to help people who really want to get in and make a difference in their communities, make a difference in their states, and we are offering them the resources that they need to be able to be as successful as is possible, and also to be able to do it affordably. I would love to. What you running for?
I would have to like delete all my podcast episodes first. Everything I did, like, there's a YouTube video of me crip walking on the American flag. Like, I have to take that down. I gotta get rid of everything I did online first.
Well, maybe we have, interestingly, we're in about 2 or 3 weeks, we will be launching our pre-candidate training school. And that is it's an online program designed for people who say, you know, I think I might want to run for office. And these are the types of questions that we will, among other things, that people will be able to ask themselves to make a decision about, you know, whether or not they should run. There's a lot to think about. And I think a lot of times people get in and they are making decisions, but they haven't really thought through a lot of the things that they really should be thinking through before they get in. So this little course is set up to help people think through some of the important issues that they should be thinking through. And your podcast, they're not, you know, that's the crip walk might, but I don't think you would run into too many problems with that.
Have you seen some of my episode titles?
I have.
Christianity is the smile on the face of white supremacy.
We're running for a local office, not like states. Come on.
I can't be mad at you. I too cannot run for local office. I don't have the temperament. Some people have a better temperament than others. I do not have the cooperative temperament to do it. So I'm eliminated pretty much.
Move to Chicago, you can be an alderman.
Phoenix said I should move to Chicago and be an alderman.
Can I strangle people? Am I allowed to do that?
Yes.
I am?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Why are you trying to get this woman locked up? What are you doing?
I want to strangle people. I mean, you know, I just don't have it. Like, if somebody says something wrong, I might be like, snapping. So I just try to stay a little bit away from it because I know my limits. I know my limits. I do not have a crip walk video, but I know my limits.
I think it would be, in, you know, like you said before going into this segment, that local stuff matters. Like you were driving and, you know, when I braced myself and then we rode smooth and we were like, they fixed that pothole.
<'Cause> That's right.
It's one of the wickedest potholes. Like, I'm like, man, this pothole, like, you're gonna have to replace your tires like soon, it's fixed. Or like, you know, before the climate change hoax really settled in on us, you know, the snow plows were out on time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, like that's stuff that has to be handled, you know, and you don't want someone who's so libertarian, so anti-socialist, so laissez-faire that they're like, fuck the snow plows.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Pay for the snow plow when we need a snow plow. I mean, you can't wait until those types of things, you know, but in a lot of places you'd be surprised they do that because of who's in government. And we think that, you know, the truth of the matter is if you remove the labels, if you remove all of the political labels, and you ask a regular everyday person, hey, do you think we should have snow plows available just in case there's a big snow? You know what? Like 100% of the people are going to go, yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go, hey, you know, would you mind pitching in, like, you know, I don't know, $10 a year? So we can have like snow plows ready in case they need. You know what? Most people are gonna go, yeah, $10 a year is not bad. But once you start, so we believe here at Bold Blue that when we're talking with campaigns and we're working with campaigns, we're just talking about keeping it real, making sure that people are communicating in a way that is meaningful and so that people understand. People are making decisions based upon what they see as value in their lives. Just take all of the labels out and let's just say, hey, do you think we should have good schools? I mean, what do you think we need to do with the schools? What do you think? We encourage our campaigns and our candidates to use real language and real communicate to talk to real people and language and with examples that they can understand easily. And when that happens, we find that a lot of people don't disagree as much as we might think they do if we watch the news and see things on social media. I don't think people disagree as much as they do.
Yeah. I tell you, and as we head out here and go into the Kimberly Nicole segment, can we just? Oh, and I'm saving the link. I'll be posting the link to the Bold Blue campaigns for folks, and to the person who asked me if there's anything she wants to donate to. And but just because this is how black people age, can you tell the audience how old you are?
I am 49, and I will be 50 in December. So,
you're killing them out there. Yeah, that's for you folks on the Facebook. Looking, you podcast listeners, go look at the Facebook and go enjoy the blackness. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, enjoy your evening and be as safe as possible wherever you are.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys are the best. I love you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Right, Madison Page.
Fucking black people.
That's right, 49.
I was actually going to guess 42. I'm getting better.
Because I was, she had to make a post about that one time in the social networks. She was like, okay, I know some of you people new to my page see my picture, and you think you could talk to me like I'm some child. I'm 48. It's like she had to let it see known. All right, let's see. Can you...
No,
I cannot. Hit up.
No.
Ma'am.
No.
Ma'am.
No.
Another story while I hit up Kimberly Nicole.
Absolutely not.
And folks with the, oh yeah, and I need to take the link for the Bold Blue campaigns and send, yes. And okay, well, I have it saved on that tab.
Yeah.
So that is a pretty good.
Okay, Colorado workers fired for supporting immigrants. Hey.
Awesome.
Yes. Dozens of people said they were fired for taking part in a protest in Denver during Thursday's A Day Without Immigrants movement. The protest closed restaurants, shops, and job sites across the country. The movement was an effort to show the Trump administration how much immigrants contribute to the country's economy. Many skipped work and vowed not to spend any money that day. It was a day meant to unite, but on a job site in Denver, Thursday's A Day Without Immigrants movement instead ripped apart a company and at least 30 of its workers. Ray was the foreman of a crew, foreman of two crews working for JVS Masonry. Don't use their services if you're in Colorado. They're fucking douche nozzles. He said he told his boss his crews would be missing work to support the cause and was told they would be fired. You stand for what you believe. Make sure you stand for whatever consequences are going to come. He said whoever took the day off today can find another job tomorrow. Ray read texts from his phone sent by his boss, Jim Sarowski, owner of JVS Masonry. All of them, he said, ended up being fired for standing up for families. The guys that we have out here that have families are afraid to go out and get a gallon of milk, get gas, or going to get groceries in case they get stopped and get deported. Now, notice that slick shit, though. They're mad that the immigrants took a day off to protest for the Day of Immigrants, but they also hire immigrants without papers to do their jobs. So, fucking pick a struggle. Pick a fucking struggle.
No. They can't.
If you want to go, but the owner of JVS Masonry said he's anti-political. If you want to go to work to support your family, I don't care if you have antennas coming out of your head. I really don't care. But if you're going to betray the company, then I have a concern. Betray the company. You owe the fucking company, you piece of shit. Although I am curious, if one of these guys does get deported, is he going to pay to get that worker back here and not betray his workers? Or is that just a one-way thing? Just a one-way thing? Yeah.
What is the deal with their hyperbole?
I don't know.
What did he say he doesn't care about?
If you have antennas coming out of your head, if you want to work, he'll hire you.
I guarantee you won't hire someone with antennas coming out of their head. Like, especially like if during the job interview, they like come down like feelers on an ant and kind of rub your forehead. You know the fuck you won't.
That's like racist. They're like, I don't care if you're blue. Like,
yes, Smurfs? She would.
Why the fuck are we talking about Smurfs? Nigga.
If the Blue Man crew showed up at my door, I would throw things at them. Because fuck that.
I would not let them in. Sarowski said, ultimately, it comes down to business. Oh, so not the company as a unit, just you. I have no view on immigration laws or anything going on. All I know is I have a business to run. But you fucking hire immigrants to run your business. What are you doing? Ray said he told the boss the crew would be at work Saturday to make up for the missed day, but Sarowski said if they want a job, they need to show up when they're supposed to. And then you like this snark shit at the end of it. He also said if they want their jobs back, all they have to do is ask. Yeah. Fucking, yeah. So, this guy's an asshole, basically. That's what I got from this story. He's a fucking asshole.
Ugh.
Yeah.
A fucking ass rancher. Basically. And just to take it back to the framing, this was about the Day Without Immigrants.
Yes.
And some folks took the day off. And I know I looked around the cafeteria and it looks like I'm guessing no one got retaliated against by management for that. But management, okay, I wanted to make a post about this too in the social networks. I'll just riff about it on the program. The management was in scramble mode. Because basically, they're going into this week trying to make up for how they fell behind last week. Because that was a Thursday.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because that was a Thursday, so that was very close to the end of the week. So they spend Friday and Monday trying to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like, yeah, this day was a scramble day. And then, we like, our area, oh, they fucked up. I know we didn't hit our numbers. We did not hit our numbers at all today. All right? Because when we first started, the machine was messed up. That's usual. It's Monday. And the mechanic comes in, works on the machine that prints the date on the thing and puts the tape around the box. And then I slap it on, forklift driver grabs it. You know, warehouse shit.
Yeah.
And while he was fixing the physical part of the machine, he like bumped into the keyboard and changed the expiration date. So it was printing the wrong expiration date on so many units of product. And then we had to, we had to take them all out of those packages. We had to get the forklift driver that took them to be shipped to go get them away from the truck so they wouldn't get shipped, bring them all back, unpackage them, and then repackage them with the machine messing up again.
Shit.
So we actually did. So, and that's all the stuff we had to repackage. So, and that started for us before first break at 7:40.
Okay.
And then so we spend the rest of the day repackaging, and we don't start packaging new stuff until about the last 90 minutes of the shift. Oof. Yeah, so it's starting out not good. We're gonna fuck around and lose that Gerber contract. Cause yeah, we are. That was a Gerber product. And the Gerber products seem to have some of the most annoying dadgummit problems. All right, Kimberly Nicole is ready, so we're going to contact Kimberly Nicole on the Skype Areno.
Why do you gotta add an Areno on everything? What is that? What is that?
Skype? What, Skype Areno?
Oh my god!
The Skype diddly? Woo! That's a sound right there.
Yeah.
Boo!
Hello.
Oh, and there's Kimberly Nicole.
Hey.
Very excited. You feeling good?
I'm all right. Trying to get over this flu.
Oh. All right. So now I need to bring up your image. Kimberly Nicole says she don't do no video. She's not feeling it.
I do video when I look like a human.
You fresh, you black, you look more human than most. We have a very black bias here. It's the black podcast.
It's the black podcast.
And I guess introducing Kimberly Nicole, right? Folks have heard me mention the Something in Common program. The Something in Common program with Kimberly Nicole and her sidekick. And so this is actually the leader of that program that does all the production work, painted the office, you know, does all the show prep, uploads to the RSS feed, made sure it was in iTunes.
When he beats your ass, I will come visit you at the hospital.
Yeah, that's fine. Because you know how many donations I'll get from white feminists? So I'll be like, the toxic masculinity hurt me.
That's the hustle.
Yes. All right. Now, this individual, a certified health and wellness coach at WellFit Curves. And for the Facebook viewers, that's the image we have right there. That's Kimberly Nicole doing the Project Possible WellFit Curves pose. And in the past, a plus model. And Tennessee State University. I'll tell you what. And on the Twitter, at Kim, that's KYM _ Nicole, and the Nicole is NICHOLE, and it's the exact same thing on Instagram, and the website is wellfitcurves.com, and you started a new podcast.
Yes.
And that was the main thing, like, I wanted you to come on here to pump up your program.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, because, like, And I listened to the first episode, and I was like, this sounds like a first episode. Straight monologue. Straight energy. It's like when a rapper drops their first album, and it's just like, I'm just hungry, and I want to spit some shit on the mic, son. It's like, and that's what that was.
So, yeah, I had a lot to talk about. We had 20-some-odd executive orders to go over.
Yeah.
A mess. We had a mess to talk about.
That shit, that it was real. Yeah, like, and essentially, like, you're starting a political podcast at quite a time. Mm-hmm. Like, you have essentially new Reagan in the game to work with.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, I don't know, like, how long you've been around. How old are you?
Oh, did you ask me how old I am?
Yes, ma'am.
I am almost 40 in a couple months.
Word.
I've been around.
Yeah, so you've seen a little bit more. Like, you've seen the you were a little older than me, like, so you really got to see the transition between like HW to Clinton, and like see how those policies affected folks in real time.
And this is a mess. This is nothing but, this is a clusterfuck, if I can say that.
Yeah, we cuss a lot here.
This is bad. Attended any type of civic class, you know that you cannot govern through executive order alone. Like, it's nothing but a glorified memo. Like,
and now that's something, like, and I hear civics class mentions. I gotta say, at Lincoln Park High School, the civics class, it wasn't about shit. All right, like, she had us in there, like, watching movies. Like, watch this movie, Eddie Murphy, where he's, where he's running for office or something, and it's just like, we're not learning anything, Miss Teacher. This is goofy. Yeah, like, she was just more about playing old radio clips and stuff. I think she wanted to be a podcaster, but they didn't exist yet. That was her deal.
So, yeah, I mean, Rise Up with Kimberly Nicole was just a thought, because I'm so over black women showing up and showing out for these politicians and never, ever, ever getting anything in return. Never getting any kudos for coming out. Never getting any support when we have black women that run for office in this country, Democrat or Republican. I don't claim either party. And I think the Democrats have done a piss poor job of supporting women of color who run for office.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So that was why Rise Up with K. Nicole was birthed. It's a political podcast showcasing women of color in politics and issues that affect our community and our country. I mean, this last election, we came out at 94% voting for Hillary Clinton and still got blamed as black people for the fact that she didn't win.
Yep.
Damn.
Like, enough is enough. And then you look at the makeup of local and state and federal government, and we may make up 5%, if that. And it's sad. And then you only hear about us every 4 years. That's when they come out begging for the vote. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you don't hear anything.
Yep.
So,
you know what? You're making me think of an interview I just heard with the great Nina Turner, right? State senator out of Ohio. Mm-hmm. And you know, when she's a black woman, dark-skinned black woman, and she got, she's essentially froze out. Like, you might remember, if you were looking at MSNBC for 5 minutes in 2012, they had her on there, because they were like, she's like, you know, a Democratic state Senate superstar. Mm-hmm. But then, because in the primary, she endorsed Sanders and campaigned with Sanders, like, now she's barely anywhere to be seen or heard. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got to stop with this tribal ass party shit. Mm-hmm. That's not for the people. That's your fucking, it's damn near like your little He-Man woman haters club. They're a bunch of little rascals. They're children.
Yeah. You know, watching the DNC go through the changing of the guards with their whole DNC chair candidates, and I tuned into the forum that was here in Baltimore last week or the week before last, and, you know, watching the major news outlets, and many people don't even know that there is a black woman running for DNC chair. Like, she gets no coverage. Mm-hmm. They don't even talk about her. You know, right now it's Keith Ellison being a black man who's Muslim, and Tom Perez. Those are the two that you hear about. You don't hear about this one black woman who's running for DNC chair.
Hold up. You know what? I don't even know about her. Can you educate me and the audience?
Yes. Her name is Jemu. It's Jehmu. You can find her on Twitter. And her Twitter handle is Jehmu4DNC. And she is running for the DNC chair. She's out of Texas. And she's done some great work. She's worked with remember MTV Rock the Vote deal that they did back in the day? I don't know, you guys might be too young to remember that. When MTV did their whole Rock the Vote, she was like the chairperson for that campaign. So she has some great ideas. She thinks outside the box. You know, she was one of the first that I heard when all of these protests started erupting the day after the inauguration. She was the only Democrat or a DNC candidate that I heard say, like, what the hell, Democrats? What are we doing? Like, sound bites are great. Twitter is great. Why the hell are we not on the ground with these people protesting? She was like, we need to be out there bringing them food, bringing them water. We need to be cultivating these relationships with the people on the ground and get more people involved in our party. If that's what you want, you got to get down there and get in it. You know, while everybody else is on the sidelines. So she has a lot of great ideas. She thinks outside the box. It's not the same old status quo. Like, the Democrats have to realize this is not our grandparents' party anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, sadly, a 74-year-old white man has shaken the shit up. And if they don't take the ball and run with it, they're fools.
Oh, shit. So I'm on her Twitter now, and a February 19th tweet, she was on Joy Reid's program.
Yes.
On the MSNBC. I gotta look for that segment. Yeah, I didn't even know this person existed. This is outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We also have Lorna Johnson. Her Twitter is Lorna May, M-A-E Johnson. She's running for DNC treasurer. Another a black woman running for a seat in the DNC. So, you know, we're out there trying to make a difference. We don't get the same type of airplay as everybody else, and it's sad. And so, rise up with Kay Nicole is a little small part right now, but hopefully we will be the ones to showcase women of color in politics. We also have former mayor of Baltimore, Stephanie Rollins-Blake, who's running for DNC secretary. So there are positions that black women are running for, and it might be one or two for each position, and you never hear about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is ridiculous. Okay, so when you're well again, do you have an idea for what your programming schedule will be?
Not yet. I'm working on it.
Yeah, because, I mean, like... And especially like if you want guests or like you know, people to banter back and forth with, a lot of black women follow me in social media.
Yes.
Which, and you know, and that does make me a mansplainer by default.
Like, you might be.
Yeah, because like,
might be.
Yeah, like I'm talking about misogynoir to a bunch of folks that already know.
Well, let's just take it as we appreciate the validation, because there is a lot of when nobody says anything about it, you're like, am I just crazy? Like, you start gaslighting yourself. Yeah. So when other people are like, no, I see it too, you're like, oh, okay. Whew, all right. Appreciate that solidarity.
Yeah, so definitely the first thing, man, like, hopefully on your next episode, like I told you, like, in the Facebooks, I told you we just finished the segment with Madison Page. Yes,
yeah.
Link up with Madison Page, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, rock out with her, and then I'll send more and more your way. You know, Dr. Annalise Fonza, she'll probably come on with you. She's the first person I did a podcast with.
Cool. Please do. The more, the merrier. Like, we gotta get the word out. We gotta... highlight this stuff. You never hear it. And I was the segment with Joy Reid this past weekend was great. But nobody else on MSNBC was interviewing these women.
Right.
Nobody else on no one on CNN was interviewing these women. But the liberals and the Democrats are so quick to say how they are of the people and that they are so inclusive, and they are not showing it.
Michael writes in the comments section, lying.
What did he say? That's why I don't fool with him.
He in there talking about nigga, please, whatever, I make it. The hell are you talking about, pancakes? What you talking about?
Biscuits and gravy, maybe.
You don't make a that gum nothing. Nothing. That was the main thing I wanted you to come on, and the fact that you just educated us on those women right there. Anybody listening to this program, go in iTunes, Rise Up with Kimberly Nicole. All right, subscribe to that program. Hell, I'll link. You know what? After this podcast episode's over, you can shoot me the link to your program so I can link it on my profile and the social networks. Because people need to hear you talking that gangster shit.
Thank you. I'll have my assistant, Michael Wright, do that for me.
All right. Good.
He has to earn his keep around here.
All right. And also, so that's WellFit Curves and politics.
Yes.
We're talking emotional wellness and political wellness.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a good byline.
All right. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for being you. Remember, please be as safe as possible wherever you are.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys.
All right. Bye, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
We gotta go back on their show. I wanna go on her show.
Yeah, man. I finally got through listening to the whole episode, because like when we were on their program, we were yelling so much.
Okay, because we have to yell here because you're always like the decibels and put music under it. So like we are by default yelling when we podcast.
But you know what else it is? It was an emotional outburst because we're always talking about like this anti-capitalist stuff to each other and to our core audience. Now it's like two new people listening. Do you hear the things that we're saying that are very important and you need to know them?
We are spreading the word. We're preaching the gospel. Bringing truth.
Oh, man.
Michael, why do you say the disrespect is so high on this show? I'll bring you flowers when he puts you in the hospital.
That is Michael Wright in the Facebook chat space. I guess I'll close out this episode with I had actually clipped this out myself from Alex Jones, and this one was mainly just because it was funny. You actually, you'll remember this because I was testing it out with you, and but then I was just checking out Right Wing Watch, and they clipped it out too. So they So now I get to have the video and the gosh darn audio of just Alex Jones being Jonesy.
Ugh.
Just Jonesing it. All right, you're gonna enjoy this, Miss Ma'am.
I mean, probably not.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not gonna enjoy Alex Jones. Do you hate freedom?
Yes.
Really?
I'm a liberal woman, therefore I want to marry a jihadi and be sold into sexual slavery.
Yeah, well, and smack you around, because Western men don't treat you like that. Look, I already got her wearing head wraps.
You know? Oh, yes, I'll look for that on Twitter.
Oh, what's on the Twitter?
Kim is going to message me on Twitter.
Oh, word up.
I don't think he said anything about Russia decriminalizing domestic violence, though, so it's, like, weird, because he cares so deeply about women being abused.
No, see, that, were they bleeding?
Somewhere.
No.
Somewhere.
No, to, like, and because Donald Trump is the Alex Jones president, yeah, she was bleeding out of her whatever. Let's not forget, yo,
whatever.
That was a wacky ass fucking campaign season, and it's gonna leave. You realize he's gonna do the State of the Union. We all get to stand up and just watch him bust an hour-long freestyle.
I'm going to die from alcohol poisoning in an hour. And he already started campaigning again for the next election, so...
Yep, because you get some special legal protections that Kimberly Nicole will be looking into.
Oh, yes.
And teaching us about.
Yes, yes.
All right, let's get some info in the info war.
The globalists are pouring their full will out culturally through the propaganda, but also spiritually.
All right, so the globalists.
Wait, the globalists are spiritual? I thought they were like demons or something.
If you don't see the look on his face right now, he's gonna tell you. Yo, you look like one of them angry old man Muppets that be up in the balcony.
Somebody took my balloon and I'm gonna cry.
Holy shit.
I had it in my hand. I snatched the lollipop right out of my hand.
Oh man, this is awesome. This is a great clip. And
they're spoiling for a fight. They already got one. We already are kicking their ass all over the planet. Their world government's gonna get torn into pieces. Humanity's already got too many threats ahead of it. We probably may not survive already, even if we beat them. So they got to be dealt with now.
Wait, what happened?
All the cowards. All the scum.
We're not going to survive even if we beat them. What? Doesn't beating them by default?
That's how that works.
Okay.
We're not going to survive even if we beat them.
I'm going to assume he's talking about climate change or something.
Oh, fresh. Okay, Michael Rice sent me the picture for Kimberly Nicole's program.
Nice.
Yeah, I should make that my profile picture. Yep, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna make it my profile picture to promote it. Yep, that's what's happening. But until then, we need info in the info war.
Or just all the scum, all the backstabbers, all the vampires, all the pedos, they gotta be dealt with. That mean
they gotta
Does
be
that
dealt
mean
with.
Milo?
Yeah.
Like, I have questions now.
Well, I mean, because he was kind of speaking metaphorically on one of those, because he did say backstabbers. You know, that's his little slick little homophobia he's throwing in there. It's gotta be dealt with.
Because Alex Jones is known for slickness.
He's subtle. And speaking of him being subtle, it's gonna get real subtle in this clip, and it might get info-rotic, if you will.
They gotta be dealt with. That means there won't still be some creeping around. But they're not gonna be running the show anymore.
Yeah. What's your safe word, Jones? What's your safe word?
What's he taking a shit? What is that? It looks like he's taking a shit. What is this?
It's cause Madam allowed him to take a shit. Yeah. She was doing him like that movie Seven. And just getting things of spaghetti. And she's just like, you don't shit until I let you shit. Yes, Madam. Yes, Madam. I said, call me Mommy Dearest. Yes, Mommy Dearest. I said, call me Madam. And then before she let him go to the bathroom, she gave him a mean laxative.
Want a fight, you're gonna get one. Ugh.
You said we already had it. So wait, do we want it or do we have it? What are we doing?
So y'all want it or y'all have it?
I want to lose my voice, but I just want you to know.
What is he thinking about? Is he thinking about angry sex? Like, what is happening?
I think so. Yeah. That's what happens to guys like that after they talk about Lady Gaga in the Super Bowl. Whew. Yep. It's like, I got a bad romance for you. Let's play a love game. I didn't rewind it. He just did that again.
I just want to beat these people, don't you? I'm sick of them. I'm sick of them thinking they're better than
Oh my god, he has like the old man alt-right haircut. Because when you go back, when he shakes his head, you can see the hair flop, like the Hitler hair flop on the side.
I don't know, I'm going to take it back a little bit then. Let's see. Let's give it a running start.
I just want to beat these people.
He has a fucking Hitler hair flop.
No, the Hitler hair flop. You know, that's put that in the lexicon.
Sick of them thinking they're better than everybody and having their way with us. Having their way with a lot.
Yeah, you want to have your way with somebody right
yeah.
now.
having their way with us.
Woo!
He likes when they have their way with them. Info-rotic Infowars. I tell you what.
People, you pieces of crap. Excuse me.
So he does all that, goes, excuse me, puts his hands in his head like he's about to cry and says, keep going to himself?
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong?
Yeah.
Okay.
He just growls again.
Yeah, you got another thrust in there, Alex.
Yeah, so, yeah, thank good. Yeah, Right Wing Watch got the exact same clip I was gonna go with. I will tell you what.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he is one of the leading voices of white supremacy, but moments like that are actually fucking funny.
They are. All right. WineCellarMedia.com, William J. Jackson, a.k.a. Dark Skin Nigglesworth, Phoenix Kalider, The Uppity Negress, Lisa Loco, contact that pale woman, bring her back, and
She's just Scottish, man. Why you gotta...
She is incredibly pale.
She's Scottish.
Like, that's the kind of white that made them call it white. Like, that... that's why they said, well, that's the color we're going with, because they exist. So, yes. And then get your little Aunt Jemima, little colored gal friend, Catherine.
You know, someday Kate's going to be here when we do a show. People will be like, what the fuck?
Double down. Double down. Well, yeah, black, look, right there. Her voice is gonna fuck it all up.
Her voice.
Because she does. She has a heavy. Because she's not even from this continent, right?
I think she was born here.
Oh, she was?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
But just raised in a very, insulated community for a while.
Okay, I was like, man, because I thought she was from the Russia.
Well, she's not from Russia. She's, I think, Slavic.
Ah.
Eastern European.
Yeah, she speaks with a heavy Beccent. Like, it's thick. It's hefty, man. It does. It hits you hard when you first hear it. You're like, whoa, no, wasn't ready for that. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund, PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. And again, thank you to the folks that just recently signed on to the Patreon. That's Liz Lang and Katie May and Madeline Stump. Madeline came on and put it the fuck down like a G.
Like a G.
Like a G.
Yes.
Indeed.
He's got the biggest, juiciest fruit I've ever seen.
It's Moral Monday. And you're
all right,
in the
folks,
wine cellar.
Thanks for tuning in. Facebook Live. And I still got something went wrong again when I went to go fix the one with William Spivey. Like, the upload fracked up. Like, I went to play the archive, and it was like... Yeah, so, great. Gotta go fix that. Ooh. So, yeah, so I made that episode private, and then I gotta download it and then fix it up and re-upload it again. So, fun stuff. Well, I don't download. I have to delete that file. Mm-hmm. And then try to re-upload a new MP3 of it. So that's your wine cellar.
Ooh.